The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give it to you. This I command you, love one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Good evening, everyone. My name is Father Mario Amori, and I'm the associate pastor at Our Lady of Sorrows. And some of you are probably a little confused because you probably expect me to speak like this. Actually, sometimes at Our Lady of Sorrows, it's very funny. I'll go up to people and they say, Father, how do you like living in this country? I've lived here all my life. Mario Vincent Amore. My brother's name is Robert John. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but a good Italian boy here with you tonight. On this beautiful night, on this feast, this solemnity of Pentecost, and I don't know about you, but I've really felt the Spirit working this weekend. I've had the great opportunity to witness, to be part of the ordination yesterday morning of Father Kevin and his classmates celebrating Pentecost Sunday with my parish community this morning, and now being here with all of you. It's a true testament that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. He's in Bloomfield Hills, he's in Farmington, and he's across the face of the earth, moving within us to bring us closer to the Father. And that's what we do here tonight as we come closer to our Lord. Tonight we speak about the Lord who first loved us. And as we reflect on the great love that God has for us, we have to first know something about God's love. The first is that God is radically in love with us. God is radically in love with his people. We are the new people, Israel. God brings us, because of his love, out of our slavery to sin into the newness of life that only he can give us. Another thing we need to know is that God's love is not an emotion. God does not fall in and out of love with us. God loved us first. God loves us always and forever. God never stops loving us when we sin. And I think many times we get into that pit of lies. That when we fall away, when we sin, that in some way we begin to think that God stops loving me for this time until I go to confession. That's not God's love. One of my favorite things to do as a priest is to celebrate Mass with the school kids at Our Lady of Sorrows. I was assigned here to St. Regis for my diaconate internship, and that was also just a wonderful time for me. And I taught our elementary school students a song during one of the homilies, and it's probably a song that you know. It's all about God's love. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. You know what? Let's try it. I make the kids do it too. Ready? Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. It never runs out on me. And on and on and on and on it goes. Absolutely. That's what we celebrate here tonight. That's what we celebrate as we come before the Lord. This love that never fails, never gives up. The love that's boundless. And if there's one thing that I want our students to know, if it's one thing that I want you to know tonight, it's that. The Lord's love never fails because he first loved us. I like to ask the kids questions during my homily, and inevitably, every time I ask a question, they think that song is the answer. And that's great because that's exactly what we want. For them to know that the Lord abides with us because he first loved us. When I meet with wedding couples often, I started to do something new. Because when they meet with me, it's many times I'm getting to know them. And so, you know, I'm preparing them for the sacrament, but I need like homily material, right? So I ask them, what do you like, what do you love about your fiance? And they'll turn to me and say, Father, and the list goes on and on. I said, okay, well, turn to her and tell her. And it's always the guys who cry, every time, every time. And they all say pretty much the same thing a lot of the times. The guys will say, Father, I would do anything for her. I would die for her. It's the same reality we have here. The Lord does everything and anything for us. The Lord has died for us so that love could abide with us. When we think about the God who first loved us, too often it becomes just a theory for us. When I was in the seminary, as they're preparing us to become priests, they say over and over and over again, you can't be the best priest that God is calling you to be until you first know one thing. Until you first know that you are a beloved son of God. And for me, that was kind of like, you know, St. Paul says, it's the clanging gong and the gong and clashing cymbal. Like we just hear it over and over again. You're like, okay, yeah, yeah, we know that. But until we come face to face with that reality, it's hard for us to really know that and to really believe that. And oftentimes, it's in those moments, in the worst times of our lives, when we come to realize that that is true, that we are beloved sons and daughters of God because he first loved us. It's when we come face to face with love. As part of coming to know more about ourselves. That's what you want, right? You want priests who know a lot about themselves so that we can minister to others. We can help ourselves minister to others and bring the Lord's love to them. For me, one of those darkest moments was actually on a retreat. And that is usually how it happens for me. It was a silent retreat. It was the beginning of a summer-long summer-long program in Nebraska. And the first 8 days is a silent retreat. And they just take you through the ringer, let me tell you. They want you to bring up everything. Like those dark secrets you want no one else to know about. So we get to the root of things. Because it's not until we get to the root of things when this love becomes real for us. And it was the worst 8 days of my life. No joke. the worst 8 days of my life. Not because I had to be quiet. That's not even a joke. I love preaching to church crowds because they laugh at anything. You're just like, you're like a bunch of seminarians always laughing at something. Worst 8 days of my life, bar none. And just like, I was literally sick to my stomach for 8 days. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to look at anybody. And this is a program of like 150 people, 150 guys, seminarians. And so like everybody's walking around, no one's talking to each other, but like all these guys are like in ecstasy and loving everything about life. And like I just abhorred them. Seriously. And in this darkness, I came to meet the love of the Lord face to face in two instances. Priests, we pray what's called the Liturgy of the Hours, and so seminarians pray it as well to form the habit. And it was a Wednesday, I remember exactly. It was a Wednesday, and I was sitting on just a patio area, watching everybody skip along by. And it was hot, and I was sick, and I had to pray. So it was one of those, you know, like, there are times when you don't want to pray. That's true. And this was one of those moments, but I knew that I had to do it. And this was the psalm through which God spoke to me. It's from Psalm 89. It's a psalm of David. It says, "If his sons forsake my law and refuse to walk as I decree, and if ever they violate my statutes, refusing to keep my commands, then I will punish their offenses with the rod. Then I will scourge them on account of their guilt. But I will never take back my love. My truth will never fail." From that day, it changed everything. The Lord who first loves us never takes back his love for us. And it's in those darkest of moments that we have to remember that. I had a spiritual director during those 8 days that he gave me some bad advice. Priests do that sometimes. He gave me some bad advice. And so I left that retreat sick. And the second way in which I encountered the love of God was through a new spiritual director. We change after those 8 days. And I was really, I didn't want to do it because like I was going to have to tell this guy what I told this guy, and like it's just going to repeat and I'm going to be sick for 10 weeks. And so this is what I look for in a spiritual director or in a confessor usually. That they're foreign or old. It's just the way I operate. There's nothing wrong with that. Anyway, my new spiritual director was not foreign, but he happened to be a man who, out of, I don't even know, 30 or 40 spiritual directors, was one of the spiritual directors at our seminary. And he was like grandpa. And I went to him and I just laid it all out for him. I said, this is what the priest said, this is what I said, blah, blah, blah. And he just had that, you know, no big deal. And I credit that movement of God to bring me to him, to hear those words from his mouth for my vocation. I tell you, if it were not for that man, I would not be right here today. He has since gone home to the Lord, and he's someone that I remember fondly, and I remember him often, and I thank God for the gift of love that he has shown me through him. And that's what we have to understand, brothers and sisters, about God's love, is that whatever experience of love we have, it's a manifestation of God. It's a manifestation of God's love. No matter who it is that loves us or whom we love, no matter what great things happen in our lives, that is the Lord who gives all of himself to us. Because that's who he is. Pope Francis has recently said that the name of God is mercy. And we can also say that the name of God is love. Love is not something that we learn. We don't go to the store and pick out love. We don't go to classes to learn to love. We love because from the beginning of time, when the Lord thought us into being, he placed something within us to change us forever. He gave us the ability to love when we were ugly in our sin. The Lord made us beautiful. The Lord changed the trajectory of our lives forever, simply by his love. Because it never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. And that's the reality. That love doesn't originate within us. It doesn't originate within our hearts. It originates in God himself. And the more that we love, the more that our ability to love increases. The more we love, the more we're able to love. The more we're able to share that love. And the more we're able to draw closer to that love, the source of everything. Without that love, we know nothing. But when we know that love, we know everything. And we know the one who is everything. St. Francis de Sales said this. He said, consider the eternal love God has borne you, and that even before our Lord Jesus Christ became man and suffered on the cross for you, his divine majesty designed your existence and loved you. When did he begin to love you? When he began to be God. And that was never. Because he ever was, without beginning and without end. Even so, he always loved you from eternity, and therefore has made ready all the graces and gifts which he has endowed you with. The Lord loved us from the beginning. When I was here at St. Regis, I think it was the principal, she asked me to go into the maturation course with the sixth grade, I think, to be a male presence in with the boys. And we started by asking the guys, what is love? And they gave us the answers. And then they turned this video on. And I'll never forget one of the answers that one of the girls on the video said. She said, love is the way in which God looks at the world. The lens through which God gazes on the world. For us to love, for us to tap into that love that was placed in our hearts from the beginning, means to put on the eyes of Christ and to see the world through that lens of love. Can we bring up the picture, please? This picture is a picture of my brother. And that's his firstborn son. That's Giovanni, 5 years ago. And this picture speaks to me about what it means to look upon the world with love. It's a real life image for me of what it means that God gazes upon the world in love. That God knows everything about us because he is love. And he's given us that love, and he continues to look upon us each and every day in that same way. When we're lost in sin, when we're in despair, when we feel like nothing changes, that's how God sees us. Showing our love for God doesn't mean that we read books or even that we only go to Mass. That's part of it. But what it means for us is that we recognize God's love and that we live that love through what we celebrate today, through the gifts and the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we take a look at some of the apostles, we see that the love of the Lord breaks into their lives in the most darkest of moments, usually. Or maybe even when they weren't expecting it. St. Matthew is just sitting at the post. The Lord says, come on and follow me. Or God breaks into Mary's life and said, I need you to do this for me. Or the woman caught in adultery in the darkest of times, in the darkest of moments, the Lord is there to call her in love and to change the course of her life forever. Because he takes the initiative. God takes the initiative in loving us. And God wants to do something new with this love. It's not a love that's meant to be stagnant. It's a love that's meant to be lived. And if we don't believe that God placed it in us, in our hearts from the beginning, then there's no hope for us to live that love in the everyday realities of life because we can't do it ourselves. I've tried. I'm sure you've tried as well. We can't do it ourselves. And that's what we celebrate on Pentecost. That's why we gather here today. The apostles, they were gathered with Mary and they were surprised. Something great, something new was happening in them. The Holy Spirit was pouring himself out upon them because now they've been enlivened to be those bold witnesses. And they had to tap into that love that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the bond of the love that the Father and Son have. The Holy Spirit is the manifestation of that love. And it was the beginning of something great. The rekindling of the love that the apostles first had drew them out of themselves. Like St. Paul says, it's the love that impels them out to go, to share the love, to be the witnesses, to live in the light, to allow the Holy Spirit to change everything about them. It was that love that kept them from falling into the same old pits. They were the ones that ran. They were the ones that hid, the ones that denied him. But love is now doing something new for them and in them. And the greatest, then, response that we can give to the Lord, the greatest response of love is an outpouring of ourselves for Christ, for God. And Christ is the model. He's the one who gave all of his love, who poured out all of his love on Good Friday. The gospel that we heard today said that you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. God commands us to love. And we love because he first loved. So let us live the love. We wouldn't be able to love without it, without him, without the one who changes everything. He made us his friends when we were enemies. He took the initiative to bring us back to himself. He took the initiative in the same way that he brought Israel out of their slavery. He does the same for us today because he desires to make us beautiful in his eyes. He desires to make us those beautiful servants of his word and of his love. And so he asks us then to soak in this love, to draw closer to this love who's here among us. Because if we do that, if we allow this love to work in our lives, then like the first apostles on Pentecost, our lives would never, ever be the same. We love because he first loved us. This day and always, let us live, let us soak in this great love, this great outpouring, so that we can truly be those authentic disciples that God calls us to be as he gazes upon us every day with joy and love.